All right, AMA, as we do every single Wednesday at this time, John Ritchie, people ask, we answer.
Ask Me Anything, brought to you by Busch Auto Group. Shop a wide selection of Nissans, Infinities, and hundreds of pre-owned vehicles at BushAutoGroup.com.
All right, so normally...
Philly rides with us.
I apologize. Normally, we field questions, but Seltzer, I'm going to ask the first question.
Uh-oh.
So you told me a few minutes ago, but did not give me the details. There's something scuttlebutt of some NFL action. What's going on?
Yeah, Adam Schefter tweeting out, it's happening. Titans and Chiefs are working on to finalize a trade that would send wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins to Kansas City.
Huh. Okay. Well, it means...
Or a fifth rounder that could become a fourth.
I mean, obviously, he'd be an upgrade.
Devastated injury-wise at the wide receiver spot. Yeah. We know that. Man,
he and makes still undefeated.
Them so, they are. So scary.
And he's still really good, John?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then,
still very talented. Then we know that he's
well,
been
he is older
in and
though.
Out.
Yeah, you don't want a Julio Jones if you're that.
I mean, he might be cooked. 34? He hasn't been, he's pretty old. Like,
guys, Julio
he's been
Jones
on a bad team, so it's hard
still
to know,
talented.
But he might be cooked.
I gotcha. Well, here's what I'll say. Lock in a third Super Bowl. Lock in a third Super Bowl winner is not cooked. They're right 3-0. All right, let's get to some questions.
He knows how to get open, and he catches everything.
He's got great hands.
Reed knows how to use a guy like that.
Okay. And we'll see. All right, James, what do people want to know today?
All right. Michael Katz on Twitter says, Richie, you've run for office. What advice do you have for your colleague Joe DiCamera when he runs for president?
That's just such a joke.
Buddy.
Really?
DiCamera!
I mean, it's not real, first of all. And hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. That's my advice. Like, that's what it requires. Realistically, that's the worst part of running for office. You have to ask everyone you've ever known to donate to your political campaign, and that's the worst part. And if you're going to try to run for president, I can't even fathom.
Well, here's the good news on that front. So running for president, I'll just have other people ask people I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have to ask you guys. Like, what do I mean? I mean, I don't have to ask you guys for money.
I don't have any, so you're fine.
Part of what he doesn't understand is that when you run for office, you actually have to do stuff.
I know.
I went out and knocked on 20,000 doors.
And lost.
And talked to the people.
Yeah, exactly. And lost. That's the point.
Joe,
it wasn't enough what he did.
Can
despite
I say this,
the
James?
Fact that he doesn't have hundreds of millions of dollars, nor any experience or understanding of any of this.
Not to mention, there is no way that he is as famous or as popular as you were in your area. Like, there's no way.
And what does that say about John?
I think that's what's it say about you not.
Exactly.
That's my point. Like, you're coming in at less of a...
And we found out he actually believes
I got time
it
to
might
break
happen.
Through. I got time.
Like, that's what
no,
we
don't.
Learned.
I got time. I got
from
time.
From the lie detector. He
people
thinks
are
it's
president
real.
Like, okay. Know they can be president from, like, childhood. Like, it's this is not you, buddy.
You think whatever you want to think.
Oh, I know. It's not a thing. Yes.
Let's do one more question.
All right. It's an appropriate question.
I'm offended.
Here.
I really am.
Yeah, you good.
I know. That's what's so weird.
We're offended that you keep saying
I'm offended.
It. Like, realistic. Like, you believe it. It offends me.
And I think anyone who's ever run for office.
At any level. At any level of office.
Absolutely.
Like the local coroner should be offended by
the coroner. Seriously. You gotta take a shot at the coroner for
it. Runs for a
yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, totally. Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was trying to think of as low level of run.
That's probably
I could think of.
All right,
dead people.
All right, let's do one more. It's an appropriate question after this. Maybe we can play your answer for your presidential run. What do you hate most about yourself?
Oh, wow. That's
I would say, like,
impatience.
I don't know. Okay.
Me too.
I would say it's not a hate for me, but I do wish my brain was less complicated and complex. It's just filled with a lot of stuff, and that gives me an advantage, but it
what
also.
What kind of answer is this? This is like I work too hard. I hate
that. So
I
smart.
Work so
my
hard.
My brain is
so
too
annoying.
Full
I
of stuff.
I hate being so smart.
So
it's
smart.
Really hard.
I didn't say, I didn't say
function
smart.
Among you
he
morons
said,
every day.
Said,
I didn't say
my
smart.
My brain is too big.
No,
my brain
no.
Is so full.
That's not
it's
what I
too
said.
It works too
James,
well.
James,
it's too complicated.
James, does OCD have anything to do with intelligence?
So say OCD and not your brain is too complicated.
Well, that's a subset. OCD is a subset of the brain. That's right.
What?
Right?
Not everyone.
You could have said it in a way that didn't sound hoity-toity full of yourself.
I wish I
didn't
have OCD.
Yeah,
you said my brain is too complex, is what you said.
It creates
trouble. That is not I have OCD.
That's true.
Very different answers.
Now I'm more offended. But I
am.
All right. Listen, with that AMA, I'm offended. We shut it down.
Wow.
Oh, man. I got to tell you.
It is driving me crazy.
All right. Tonight, Wednesday night, Sixers season opener.
Yeah!
Go get team!
Get excited!
Yeah, baby! Whoa!
That was a lot. That was good.
Sixers are coming!
I think that was more excitement than all Sixers fans combined have shown so far.
All right, John, on a scale of one,
so fake, doesn't it?
I know. 1 to 10.
So
what was your sarcasm? Was a 10, right?
Peak sarcasm. 10 plus, plus, plus.
It's really, guys, here's the deal. We'll take your calls on it. You know, to ask you at a very basic level, you know, your thoughts as the Sixers get ready for, you know, 12 hours from now. Tipping off the season and doing so without Joel, it's just an incredible disappointment knowing that, one, he's not playing tonight, two, he's not playing for the first week, three, he's probably not healthy.
Oh, first week, and
four, they probably misled people. They definitely misled people.
He can't play in the very first game of the season.
Yeah, and I don't buy that's just load management. I don't buy that.
That's a different category of game. That's a different category. If you don't play in the season opener, there's so much more going on.
And they announced
it
yesterday.
You're not load managing.
Yeah.
There's so much more going on. There is something truly the matter if a player is going to concede to this concept of not playing. I honestly can't imagine as a player holding back the excitement of like getting ready for a season. Like this is so amazing, getting ready to go out there and do your thing. You've just been chomping, waiting to play. You can't hold me back
unless
I'm actually hurt.
I agree. James, let me ask you this question. And again, everyone, 215-592-9494. So you've made the point, and you've made it for a couple weeks now, James. And I get it, and it's reasonable. Hey, everything they've tried with Embiid to this point hasn't worked for playoff success. So play him less in the regular season and try to, you know, arrive him to the playoffs healthier. Reasonable. Okay. But do you get our point that if he can't answer the bell games 1, 2, and 3, that's not good?
Look, I'm not, like, happy he's not playing in the first game. I just am saying that, like, I'm going into this, like, I have zero expectations for the Sixers. Like, I do not, until I see them win in the playoffs, I'm not going to believe they're going to win in the playoffs. And ultimately, at the end of the day, I don't really care about the regular season. Like, it's sad. It's where it's at, though. Like, I can't get invested in this team in the regular season. So, like, whatever you want to do to get Joel ready for the playoffs, I'm fine with.
Let me cut through with one point.
But I want to be invested in the regular season.
But I'm not going to be.
Okay.
But to give you the other point of view here, if he did play and dropped, I don't know, 30 points tonight, what would we all be saying? We'd be saying, great, let's see if he can do that in the
postseason.
Of course. Because all the conversation has just constantly been around this team and Joel Embiid. He can't stay healthy through the playoffs.
You know,
I truly think that this is part of that plan.
All right, I agree. Well, I don't agree that tonight's part of the plan. I think there's a plan related to playing him less. I think they're not playing him tonight because he's actually hurt. That's my opinion. I can't prove it. That's what my instincts tell me. Because I don't think he would sit out the first three games to prepare for April. I just don't. Maybe he'd miss
there's
a game.
No way, Joe.
Yeah, I don't think he's healthy.
I think they're playing it
they're
safe,
ramping
though.
Him up.
They
it's
might...
his individualized plan. It's what
he
they keep
playing. He played in the Olympics, and now we're ramping
ago,
him up.
Yeah.
And now he needs a ramp-up time?
James, here's my question to you. When, in this scenario, is it, I don't even know what the term is it playoff effective for him to play in the regular season? Is it... November 1st?
Honestly,
is it Christmas Day?
I don't know. They haven't figured out, but like if they said Embiid's out
Valentine's Day.
If they said Embiid's out the first half of the season, he's just going to come back and ramp up for the playoffs
that's
and like
so
play the second
ridiculous.
Half. But I would be fine with that.
No,
like,
but James, you should have.
I would
been.
Be,
I
though. Like,
you should
again,
have
that would be. It is what it is here. This guy has not made it through the playoffs. Like, he can't play this many games. But his body can't handle it.
Well, maybe it can't, but I'll say this, and I think this is something that I hope the commissioner tells general managers and owners and players, because this is what I would tell them if I was the commissioner. For all the talk about how worthless, John, the regular season is, okay, and players, they sit out all these games. If you look at the teams that win championships, actually win the championship, they are almost always the 1, 2, or 3 seed. I mean, almost always. And they're normally the 1 or 2 seed. I mean, last year, the Boston Celtics had 60-something wins. Year before that, Denver had 60-something. Like, there is
Dallas was a, 4 seed last year or 3 seed?
but they did not win.
No,
like
I know.
I'm just saying there is an unbelievable misconception amongst players and many fans that the regular season doesn't matter. Three aspects it matters in. One, home court advantage. Two, facing lesser teams in the playoffs, because, you know, if you're a 2 seed, you face a 7 seed. If you're a 1 seed, you face an 8 seed. Three.
And the drop-off is pretty extreme.
It's incredible.
In some cases.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then three, continuity that sets in by playing, let's say, 74 games together as a group instead of 36 games together as a group. It's a tremendous difference. And the Sixers, again this year, are going to try to put the boulder up on the mountaintop.
I just don't think they have a choice. When,
well, listen, maybe, but it's not good that he can't answer the bell right now.
Nothing is good about Joel, but you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
None of it's good. And then it's never been good enough.
And then there's the how they handled it situation.
That's
horrible.
I mean, Jason, they announced it 32 hours.
How they handle it is a disgrace. Horrible. I don't think anyone can argue that is an absolute disgrace. Tell us a week ago, whatever.
This is the most tragic start to a season that we've seen, which is saying something. Like, Joel immediately being acutely injured. Like, this is an
injury. Can you describe what acutely means for those that don't know?
It's an injury that happened, I'm assuming, recently. I'm assuming at the Olympics or this summer.
We don't even know.
The acute means it happened recently. I think what you're looking at with Joel is maybe a little bit of both.
Well, I think
you've got a guy who's got the wear and tear now, and for whatever reason, that he didn't make it through the summer clean. You know, that Olympic experience that we were, some of us excited for, some of us a little bit, you know, concerned about. He didn't escape that unscathed. He's not playing in the season opener.
I'll just say this, and then we'll get to the calls. Here's my greater worry than, like, something happened in the Olympics. I just think it could simply be the 8 to 10 years of wear and tear that this is just what it is, meaning there was no injury over the summer. He just can't answer the bell with regularity anymore.
I don't buy that you.
Oh, I think that's very likely.
I think it's very likely.
I think it's exceedingly likely.
No. No, Joe.
Why no?
Don't miss the opener of a season.
No, you're missing.
You're missing what you're saying.
You're missing the point.
You've got chronic soreness because your body is old.
Well, it's not about soreness. It's like Chase Utley could not play in the second half of the year, the second half of his career as effectively as the first half. He just couldn't. The knee just didn't permit it. He didn't suffer a new injury. It wasn't like he tore his knee in 2013. He just, the knee.
The opening game of the season is treated differently.
If you add
I don't
up,
care how sore you
it
are.
Doesn't matter. But, no, but that's, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's 82 games.
If you add up the injuries he's had in the knees, the meniscus, I don't even know all what they are at this point. I think that, like, we just have a diminished athlete in front of us.
100%. And that's inarguable, I feel like. What are we talking about?
And the fact that they're not willing to just be level with the fans.
Well, that's a bigger issue.
And they announced it 32 hours before the start of the season when people have bought tickets.
It's always been
shrouded. And he's out for a week. If he was out for a game, okay, maybe it went down in the final day or two. But don't tell me yesterday he's out for a week and try to tell me you didn't know.
It's always shrouded in mystery. Last offseason, there was an injury, a knee problem going into the offseason that I remember we were all wondering, when do we hear about the scope? Or I'm thinking, when do we hear about the successful surgery? Yeah. When do we hear that they fixed the meniscus or whatever was bothering him? This is, you know, 2 seasons ago. That never came. That news never came. The fixing never came.
Look, it's very aggravating.
It really does feel like there are things that just don't get discussed with the way that his body has been dealt with. And now it's all coming back. His body's breaking down. Like that, the inevitable.
That's my biggest worry.
Is it upon us at this point?
And they just signed him. All right. By the way, 215-592-9494 for you to weigh in on all the aspects of Joel being out for the first week. from how the organization handled it to what it represents for his career this season and the Sixers beyond. 215-592-9494. We will play coming up shortly audio of Nick Nurse yesterday. I did not like how he answered questions about it. We'll get to that shortly. Also, when you call in today, you've got a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Sarah Silverman. Comedian Sarah Silverman is going to be in town in a month on November 21st at the Met Philadelphia. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com. We were discussing before the show Adele, who's obviously one of the more accomplished artists this century. I mean, she's really had a phenomenal career. And one of her biggest songs was that song, Hello. We will ask you today at 215-592-9494 when you call in. Like the song Hello, which is a one-word title song. John Ritchie, I'm looking for the best song ever that has only one word in the title. It's got to be a great song, got to be one word. Simple rules. Whoever provides the best answer amongst our callers wins the Sarah Silverman tickets. John, give them a little taste of an example.
Man, the MTV Top 10 Video Countdown was dominated by Jump.
Jump
Van
is a
Halen's
big one.
Jump.
Oh, yeah,
Jump's
a great
from the
one.
Album 1984,
yeah.
Circa 1985.
That's a great
Jump
answer.
Jump was everywhere.
That's a big deal. Seltzer, give me an answer. One word title.
I'm surprised I'm the one doing Jimi Hendrix here. Isabella.
Isabella.
Ooh, nice.
Devin, what are you thinking here? A one word song.
Rihanna, Umbrella.
Yep. I like that a lot. Rhea, give me an answer here. This is weird. I'm going from Rihanna to Rhea.
Abracadabra. By the Steve Miller Band.
And we know that's one word?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's one word.
Abracadabra is one word.
Yeah, I'm just asking. I hear Abra and I hear Cadabra. I don't know.
It's chose
super
it for a reason,
supercalifragilistic expialidocious.
I don't know.
Because the Sixers magically keep moving the goalposts.
Yeah,
for,
they do.
You know,
well, I'll indeed. Give you...
That's such an awesome song.
It is.
Abracadabra, and they rhymed it with, I want to reach out and grab you.
Yeah, I remember.
It's so good.
It's a cool song.
I got it. All right, let me give you another song that applies to the Sixers. The Beatles. Help! Holy hell! We got a season about to start, and it's like, oof, deflating. Before it has even begun, and this is after Paul George has been at it, which should have infused energy, optimism, enthusiasm, and yet here we are. We are exactly 12 hours to the start of the season. And here we go again. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Ross Tucker joins us on the Eagles and more coming up in 10 minutes. Salvador right now. What's going on, Salvador?
Man, you said it going in, guys. Here we go. Here we go again.
Yeah.
Salvador, it makes me feel, honestly, it makes me feel a little bit sick. Like when Joe said that, I felt like, nauseous. This is unfair. It feels,
it's awful.
Dude, I expected it. I was not surprised, man. When I seen that, I'm like, okay. So when they announced the Sixers, they should say, Philadelphia, here are some of your 76ers.
Yeah.
Because we don't see them all. Like, what is going on with this? Like, we got Saquon Barkley on the Eagles who is, like, willing to do anything to get 2 or 3 yards. And Joel Embiid doesn't even want to step on the floor. Like, what is going on?
Well, he may want to. Here's my biggest fear, Salvador. I don't agree with that. Listen, I'm going
to
keep it real with you. I always do. I don't agree that he doesn't want to. I think it's a combination of through the years he didn't do enough to position himself properly.
Well, his conditioning was terrible.
Yep. So there's that aspect, and then there's just the reality that I believe he is currently not healthy.
I feel like he's just letting these guys control him. If he really, really, really wanted to play, there's players that you can't stop him from getting on the floor. I'm not trying to hear all this, man. This guy has no heart.
Well, I don't think he has enough heart. I don't think he has no heart, but
He needs to go get one then. He needs to go get one.
I don't know that.
Think he's like a valve short, Joe?
I don't know that he knows.
Well, we're getting technical here, aren't we?
I think he needs
to try to laugh. I'm trying to laugh at this point.
Is that a bypass? How's that work?
Hey, Salvador,
hold on. Remember when we were told that he was encouraging like the front office to go get tough guys? You know,
The Tucker thing, whatever that guy's name is, PJ Tucker.
I'm
still a fan
type
of
guys.
He just happened to be 77 years old when he got here.
Jimmy Butler type guys. Like Joel is best when he's got that type of toughness sort of imposed
I don't know
upon
about that.
Him. Like a teammate who can show him how to be a little bit.
He was key in bringing Andre Drummond in. He we know Andre Drummond said, and really Embiid called him himself and said, I need you, because he knew he wasn't going to be playing as many games this season.
Let me say this about tonight. Like tonight in this season. Andre Drummond better be the starting center when Joel's out and not Paul Reed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's going to be Drummond.
Yeah.
You promise?
Paul Reed's not here.
Yeah,
Drummond already said he's starting. Anymore.
Where's Paul Reed?
They remember, because what happened, them not getting to the second round. His contract wasn't picked up.
Get that guy out of here. All right, so he's already
Drummond's
out of here?
He's going to see a lot of playing time.
All right, and I got him in fantasy basketball. I'm going to clean up on steals.
Drummond or
steals,
Paul Reed?
Steals, rebounds, and blocks. Andre Drummond. Fantasy bet, when he gets minutes, superstar.
Now, it's a good pick.
All right, Salvador.
So why are you so mad about
because
tonight?
I care more about the Sixers than my fantasy basketball. My fantasy basketball team can win me like $500. By the way, IRS, you're not listening. Fantasy basketball, I can win $500. Sixers championship, my heart can be happier the rest of my life. Salvador, give me a one-word song.
All right. So it's funny that you say this. I just released a one-word song. It's called Halloween by El Monstro.
All right, I'll write it down. Don't know it. Hard to imagine it's a winning answer, but fair enough. You know what made my heart sad this morning when I woke up and saw the news? Fernando Valenzuela passed away yesterday. Fernando passed away. He was only 63 years old.
He was breathing through his eyelids. He did that, right? He was the...
Yeah,
what
I think
they said.
It's a weird way to put it after a guy just... We announced that he died, and you say he's breathing through his eyelids. Yes, he would look... up skyward while pitching, you know, in his movement.
You know his first eight starts. I know it's like famous, but do you know that he threw a complete game in each of his first eight starts?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Nine
innings in each of his first eight starts.
That's incredible.
A .5 ERA over
43 years ago, he threw 147 pitches in a game.
No, listen.
147.
Fernando was a stud, and here's what was that baseball doesn't have enough of today. In the 80s and 90s,
he was a moment, is what he was.
Well, I know that too. Yeah. But the 80s and 90s had a lot of this, as did prior decades. I just wasn't alive. There were a lot of players in the 80s and 90s that were beloved across America. Yeah. Fernando
because of the Fernando Mania.
He was like, we don't have enough today where, you know, you don't really care anymore about, like, who's that random guy that plays the Twins.
That was singular,
Kirby Puckett.
Though.
Like, I cared about that guy.
Fernando. Yeah, Brett in Kansas City, all those. Robin Yount from the Walk.
Fernando was one of those dudes.
Without Mary Lou Retton. He was like on the Wheaties box type situation.
I loved him.
Back then, that was when you could be singular. Yeah. He was singular in the mind, in the conscience
of Shohei
America.
Shohei had the chance, if Dodgers have an amazing World Series. What craziness if he comes out and pitches a game?
I think he has that potential, Shohei.
They're saying he can, but not to pitch in this World Series.
Well, no, he's been throwing. Like,
has he really?
Yeah, they're saying
Really?
It's a remote possibility, but he could throw a couple innings or something like that potentially.
Okay. I'm still disappointed Roy Hobbs didn't close it out for the Natural at the end.
Not
You know, 17
so
years.
So similar.
He hits the home run and has the winning, you know, the win as a pitcher, but that's all right. The Fernando thing is set. By the way, you may forget, if you're old enough to know, or at least you could know, but you might forget, he pitched for the Phillies briefly. 1994. I looked it up this morning. He won one game for the 1994 Phillies.
Tough year to be here, right, for baseball.
So Ruben was a teammate of his?
Ruben tweeted that he was a teammate. Tweeted about it. He said he was a great teammate.
Ruben will be with us on Friday. We'll talk to Ruben about that more coming up. Anyway, Fernando passed away, and that's sad. And, of course, on the heels of the Dodgers about to be in the World Series in 2 days. Let's talk to Patrick in Tabernacle. Patrick, good morning.
Hey, morning, everybody. Listen, man, I'm bummed to hear that. I didn't hear that, man, with Fernando. And boy, that's a great point, because back in the day, you know, there's another guy, Cleveland Indian, Joe Charbonneau. It's funny, you go Joe Charbonneau. They have these guys just drop off. But that's
baseball's done a poor job of marketing its sport to the masses.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot that was like this week in baseball all those years ago. I mean, even just as recently as 15 years ago, you'd have, you know, Baseball Tonight on ESPN. You know, I as a kid growing up, I would watch the baseball bunch. With Johnny Bench and those guys.
Yeah.
And
I remember that. Sure.
You know, it's and you don't have that stuff anymore. And it's part of why it's hard for, I think, most of us to know, like, who are the good players anymore on the Minnesota Twins? Like, Seltzer could tell us, but most of us don't know the answer to that anymore. Well, listen, and we used to know.
you know, Pete Rose, you know, we all know the off the field stuff.
Sure.
But as a kid growing up, man, I mean, come on.
No question.
I still have a scar on my elbow, you know, sliding head first into home plate. Got chewed out by the coach, but that was all Pete Rose.
Patrick, you know what you should have done, Patrick?
What's
you
that?
Should have ran the catcher over like I did. In it was either 11th or 12th grade.
I don't.
And we got
you.
My coach on the
Pish,
air.
Posh. You know what?
No, and the ball was dropped. The ump called, ruled
we
me.
We did not get your coach on the air.
No, we did.
No, we did. But he didn't remember it. Remember, he couldn't verify.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. Thank
I know
you.
I know I did it. All right, Patrick. That's, what do you got on the Sixers? And what a mess we got here.
Yeah, and real quick, the Flyers got to start playing some jam in there. What's that quote? Put some jam in there.
Hold on, I got it for you. Here we go. Here we go. Number one.
Enough is enough. Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
Here's number two, Patrick. Yeah.
I want to see people rip their heart out of their chest.
There you go.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Or at least a valve.
Listen, the Sixers, what an absolute disgrace they continue to be. I mean, they just, you know, whether or not Joel plays or doesn't play, that's one thing, but you know, come on, it's just, they miss the mark. They're so tone deaf.
Yeah.
And the contrast is you go from the Sixers to the Phillies and to the Eagles. And, you know, I wish I could include the Flyers in on that. But, you know, the ownership groups of the, you know, look at Middleton. You know, come on.
No question. Like, no question.
It's so sad.
Look, the one thing Josh Harris does is spend money. The other thing, though, is he doesn't do anything else that we appreciate. Nothing.
No.
Like nothing.
I got some older buddies that are just hardcore Sixer fans, and it's like their dog died every day of the basketball season.
It feels
just like Groundhog Day all over. You know?
It feels like Josh Harris goes farther, like he even corrupts our guys. Like, it felt like Joel was taken over to the Commanders side of things.
Okay.
Like, I don't want
right.
that, too.
Well, it was at the game. Patrick, here's maybe a better analogy that I'll say offends me as a Philadelphian. I think Josh Harris leans, the organization that is, him being part of it, on the Sixers we've loved of yesteryear, AI, Doc, etc. Not many of them, but those guys, to prop up this current regime in a way where I feel like they use those guys.
That's ugh.
And I feel offended as a Philadelphian.
That's unseemly.
Because,
you know what? That is unfair.
Yeah.
You can't prop yourself up falsely with the
because
history,
it's the excellence of
history of the past.
Yeah, and Patrick, here's what I know about, let's take Joel compared to some of those older dudes. You could not try harder in a basketball game than Allen Iverson or Moses Malone or Bobby Jones tried. You couldn't, there's no trying harder. And then you see Joel, it's not good. Patrick, give me a great answer, a one-word song.
Real quick, Joe, nothing complex about a brain that doesn't know that there's not two wings on a chicken.
Well, that's part of the complexity. See, you're missing,
No.
All right.
Patrick,
what if I told you Amy from Villanova has said this phrase to me many times through the years? That brain of yours. And believe me, she does not say it as a compliment, okay?
No,
trust me.
No, I do feel you. I feel her pain.
Okay. Patrick, what's the one-word song?
Yeah, Richie, I can't believe you missed this, buddy. Thanks for leaving it for me. How about Thriller?
Wow.
Ooh,
you got it, Patrick. Nice. Well, I hated that song. When I first heard that song, I was terrified.
Well, I think there are better songs anyway, but you were scared because of the video.
I loved Billie Jean. Billie Jean's my favorite song on that album, and of course, Beat It comes second.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a lot of great songs. I love the duets with Paul McCartney also, but Thriller, I think it was the last song on the LP, so I'm talking about the record itself.
Yep.
I wrapped pennies and put them in a shoebox and rode to Kmart with the shoebox under my arm. And paid, and the reason I remember this is because you had to write your name and address on each of those rolled penny things.
Okay.
And it was like, I don't know, $7 or $8. So that's, you know, 50 cents each. That's a lot of pennies.
Yep.
And I got to write my name and address on all these things and put my phone number on all these things. It was hard for a kid of whatever, 7 years old. I got it home. It was a task. An arduous task for me to get this record all the way home and put it into the record player and get the needle on it and turn the volume up. And it was awesome. Listen to the whole album. I was going crazy. And then all of a sudden, you know, like It's like ghouls and ghosts and scary stuff. Vincent Price, you know, it's spooky. It's like Halloween, and I'm a first grader or whatever.
Can I say something for a moment? So I referenced earlier my complex brain.
Yeah.
And I didn't mean it as a compliment. John, your brain?
The two of you together is frightening.
I don't like your brain, man.
No, it was problematic, Joe. I got a list of stuff. Problematic in weird ways. Like, I used to think if you fell out of the bathtub, you'd turn into a mannequin. Just random stuff. Just doesn't make any sense.
Well, I used to have a fear for years of hitting a deer and having the antler go through my jugular.
Oh, my God.
Okay, you've actually expressed that. Real fear.
He's brought that up.
Not very likely.
He actually thinks that's how he's going to die.
But that could happen, falling out of the bathtub and becoming a mannequin.
John was a kid when it happened, for what it's worth.
Yeah, he was a child.
But I still am really messed.
I feel a little bit messed up, like in department stores and stuff, when I really think about mannequins.
When I really focus on mannequins,
it is freaky.
That's wild. All right.
You got to agree to some degree.
No, they're creepy.
It's a little weird.
Never once thought the mannequins are creepy.
Mannequins.
What? I feel like there's always horror stories.
Mannequins are crazy. No, just the movie Mannequin. I can't really think of any others.
And then there's Seltzer, who caresses the mannequin.
No.
It's a weird thing to say.
It's a joke,
Seltzer. Can you imagine if you saw someone in a store caressing a mannequin?
What movie is that?
It was filmed in Mechanicsburg.
No, I know what it is. It's in The Wire. There's a scene with Jimmy McNulty in The Wire when he visits the old wife, and he caresses a mannequin.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, well, it's true. Mm. All right, let's talk to our next guest, Ross Tucker. So Ross with us every single Wednesday at this time.
What a lead into Ross.
Wow, sorry, Ross.
Ross, of course, does a great job covering the Eagles and the entire National Football League, and you can follow his work at Ross Tucker NFL. Good morning, Ross.
You know, good morning, Joe. I have something to say.
Uh-oh.
I am glad that John's kids are older now, because sometimes John makes a comment and I just picture, like, what if you work in child protective services and you're driving in your car? Listen, like, if John's kids were like 3, 5, and 7 and you work in child protective service and you hear some of the things he says on the radio, you might make an appointment. I mean, you might have to stop by the house
bye-bye
to see what's going on.
Yeah. Bye-bye. No, I hear you.
So fall out of the bathtub, you become a mannequin.
Bizarre. All right, so Ross, I don't know if that's stranger than the Eagles being 4-2 in such a contentious and controversial type of year. Are they good, Ross, or do they just feast on two really bad teams and that's how 2-2 became 4-2?
I think they're good. You know what I mean? I don't think they're more than that. I don't think they're worse than that. Right now, I think they're just good. They're not great, but I think they are better than average. And I think, I don't care how bad the teams are that they're playing, that was an absolute beatdown of the
Giants. Yeah, it was.
I mean, that was embarrassing. If you're a Giants fan, can you even imagine every aspect of that? Did they even get past midfield? I mean, I know somehow they got a field goal, but that was – they had 119 yards. Every time Daniel Jones dropped back, he would get sacked. They were powerless to stop the running game. And when we talk so much about Saquon, even when Kenny G was in there, he was breaking off runs. What do you think they're going to do with Saquon back in his return? The guy had 180 yards before the fourth quarter. Listen, you can't beat another NFL team that bad, Joe, and not be good. I'm not saying they're going to the Super Bowl or that they're great, but you can't beat them that badly and not be a good team.
So, Ross, how much better is this offensive line at run blocking compared to pass protecting? Because we're still not really operating at full efficiency in a passing perspective, right? But the running, it feels like, man, we're right where we need to be.
So, a couple different thoughts. Number one, the run blocking is very impressive, and I hope that that continues. I hope they continue to lean on it. And by the way, side note on that, we got to get Saquon 2 or 3 screens a game. You know, the guy is so explosive, so dynamic in space, that would be the first thing if I was Sirianni, I would say to Kellen Moore, hey, This guy needs at least two screens a game.
Look, Ross, I love it in theory, but I need Jalen to be better at it. I mean, it's year five, and I still think his height holds him back. And when you're not under center, I think it makes it harder to do that.
Well, and on, to your point, Joe, on the pass blocking stuff that John referenced, they got a major challenge this week because Trey Hendrickson for the Bengals rushing off that edge like Burns for the Giants is legit. They need to give Fred Johnson more help. But I'll also say this. I've just kind of resigned myself to it at this point. Jalen's pocket movement and pocket presence, it's just not great. I mean, you know, he's never mastered the art of like the subtly stepping up in the pocket, subtle. Like, think about like Dan Marino back in the day. Some of the sacks that Hurts took, some of the decisions he made, some of that is on him. Some of that he could do a better job than he does. But I just, you know, I'm at the point now. It's what, year five for
him? Year five, yep.
Yeah. I don't know that that's going to get better. I think we just have to accept that that's not a strength of his game.
It's a tremendous disappointment for me, Ross, and particularly given that he went to two big-time college programs. So presumably he wasn't coached by, you know, some schlub in 1AA. Like, it's just astounding to me that he's not more advanced with this stuff. And it worries me. And one of my concerns is, as the Eagles look better, that in the playoffs, he, Jalen, will be what submarines them. I really worry about that. And that's, of course, if they get to the playoffs, which I don't assume, but I think they have a good shot for. And I just see this thing sizing up in a way that he plays a bad playoff game and they lose.
You know what's interesting? I remember, Joe, in the preseason, for, you know, doing those games, I talked to Kellen Moore, and the coaches were really harping on Hurts to hang in the pocket just a little bit longer.
Yep.
Before escaping, to give the routes a little bit more time. And I understood why they were doing that. And when, especially with Mailata at left tackle, I thought that was a good decision because Hurts would so often just bail and start running to the right when he didn't have to. I almost feel like with Fred Johnson in at left tackle, that the coaches should say, actually, if it's not there and you see an opening, take off. Because I still would like to see him take off with more conviction initially and then more decorum later in the run. In other words, if you see an opening, take it and run, but then don't take this. Like, he got rocked.
He got rocked.
The goal line.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be doing that either.
Yeah, that was a big shot. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. Nick Nurse, what he said about Joel, who's obviously not playing tonight and not playing for at least the first week. What Nick Nurse said yesterday, we'll play that audio shortly. Phone calls. Mike right now. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
What's up, Mike?
So listen, I, as you know, always call in about the Birds and maybe a little bit of baseball here and there, just to let you know the Yankees are doing the World Series. But what I'm calling about this morning is, Joe, the worst time or best time of the year is Philadelphia starting to talk about the Sixers and Embiid. I have no horse in this race. I'm coming at you with a completely agnostic voice.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, I'm so surprised in you that you're going to fall for this again. Like, Rhea's there.
Wait, what am I falling for?
You get rid of this guy. Get rid of this cancer. Because all he's doing is setting you up for another season of disappointment. Like, everyone just looks at, not everyone, most people are looking at the positive and the what ifs and the
I don't think many people are looking at the positives right now. But here's what, and Mike, here, look, it's a reasonable point you bring up. Here's what I will say. Here's just my thing on whether to go forward with Embiid. I still would. I recognize it's likely he will not win a championship with the Sixers. I'm not happy about that, but I still think there is a chance. I'd like to see this season play out with him, Maxey, and Paul George, see if they get it or how close they get it. If he cannot answer the bell this April, May, and June, then that would probably be the first time that I would say, okay, now I'm ready to move off of it. But I'm just not there yet, but I recognize that they will probably not win a title with him.
But Joe, and I guess that's what's so frustrating when I hear you, because listen, I'll admit you're a smart guy, but in this instance, you sound like you have Stockholm syndrome.
But Mike, we know you know what the alternative is, right? Like, you're going to be so bad for probably anywhere between 3 to 10 years. Like, the Oklahoma City Thunder are now maybe title contenders. They're certainly in the conversation of some of the elite teams in basketball. But when they lost Durant, it was a long time ago. Like, it took them a long time to come back. And we've seen that with this. Like, I remember, Mike, I grew up with, like, Clarence Weatherspoon's a 6 foot whatever power forward who would get a shot blocked. I know what it's like when you have a 20-win team. I saw it in that group. We obviously saw it in the tanking years, and that was extreme. And once you get there, I mean, yeah, sometimes you draft Allen Iverson, and that changes everything. Sometimes you get Evan Turner, Sean Bradley, yeah. Sherrone Wright, and, like, you don't go anywhere.
And sometimes you draft a guy who's injured, and he's injured his entire career.
I know. So, Mike, that's my argument. I'm sure some people agree with it. I'm sure some people disagree with it. It is what it is. Mike, give me a one-word song.
Sure. This is Joel Embiid's theme song, Beck, Loser.
Wow. Damn.
Holy mackerel.